T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Brewers fans, thank you for making the switch after the last pitch to this show. Welcome to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Now, from the Hyundai of West Dallas Postgame Studios, here's Jeff Orlowski and the franchise, Tim Allen.
Yeah, it is a final from L.A., and the results are good. Another Brewers victory as they take game two of this three-game set. 4-1 the final, and welcome, everybody, to the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey here in the Hyundai of West Dallas postgame studios. Tim Allen, the Polish pipe bomb, Jeff Orlowski is here. Sam Schmitz behind the glass. And a nice Brewers victory. You got to be excited about this. Things got a little nervous there when you lose 4 of 5 coming out of that Cubs series, going out to Anaheim to face the Angels, and you get swept out there, and then you're facing the staring down the barrel of the L.A. Dodgers in L.A., and then you rattle off the first two of three games in this series. That's huge. That is to the point now where you say, okay, it's 8-6 after last year's 14 head-to-head. Now the Brewers match it to get it back to even. 8-8 in their last 16 against this Dodger team. Hell, who knows? They may face each other in the postseason again this year. You never really know. Nice, nice performance out of Zach Davies tonight, Jeff.
Oh, he stepped up huge. No walks. That's the big thing that jumps out on the page with me. You know, he did strike out a bunch of guys as well, but zero walks for Zach Davies. I love that.
Yeah, and they bounce back with a couple of wins here. One at a time, you take it. Now they're in decent shape. They're in decent shape with that bullpen. Junior Guerra picks up a two-inning save tonight. And you've got Yolis Chacin, your guy on the hill in Game 3 tomorrow, and a somewhat fresh bullpen. I think more fresh than you would think. I think Josh Hader would be available tomorrow. So it's up to the offense to stay in the game tomorrow and go after the sweep against the L.A. Dodgers. Brewers 10-5 with this victory. It's exciting. I mean, these two games cannot be understated. These two games, a little bit of a game-saving early season tipping point, right?
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
It is. It is. You know, you get swept by the Angels. You needed to bounce back. I was definitely nervous because, you know, it's the Dodgers. And, you know, the Brewers have played the Dodgers, you know, good the last, the last couple years. But, you know, you lose in Game 7 of the NLCS and, you drop the season series 4-3 during the regular season last year.
Yep.
For them to take the first two games is huge.
Now you get it back to 8-8, as I said. And more importantly, you right the ship a little bit. Now there are going to be bumps in the road. Raise your hand if you remember last year when the Pittsburgh Pirates had their way with the Crew.
A 5-game sweep.
Just prior to the All-Star break.
Yeah.
Not saying that the Brewers won't lose 4 or 5 in a row this year. They just might. But early on here, if you're a big believer in early tone-setting kind of situations, these two games were big. They were. And not to say that, you know, you want to go into it with house money tomorrow, because you re-rack, and that's what you do every game. You just wipe it away. It'll be gone tomorrow, and you go back after another win on that day. Tomorrow, a big day in sports in Milwaukee, as you know.
Absolutely.
There's something going on downtown, right?
Yeah, a little something called Game 1. So, yeah, huge day tomorrow. Masters, you know, bright and early in the morning, then the Brewers, then the Bucks. So, tomorrow is definitely a sportsgasm.
To me, guys, Brewers fans, it still feels like something is missing from this baseball team. I just cannot quite put my finger on it. Something, it's just, I won't say the empty feeling. And they're doing well. Don't get me wrong. They're 10-5. You can't argue with that. First in the NL Central.
Yeah.
But still, just the way these games are shaken out, just there seems to be just one missing piece here, and I don't know what it is. My head tells me that it's a bullpen arm, right? That just something seems a little, I won't say erratic. I guess strange in the bullpen, different, maybe different.
It's definitely different, but, you know, the bullpen went, what, 4 2/3 yesterday, a scoreless baseball.
Yes.
Junior
yep.
Guerra goes 6 up, 6 down, gets a 6-out save tonight. So, you know, there has been some signs of some leaks in the bullpen ship, but it seems like they're plugging the holes now. They've had 2 back-to-back just phenomenal days.
Does it seem like it's a bullpen that is more suited or fitted for doing a 4 2/3 type of game than it would be to get 7 tough, hard, crucial outs in a one-run game?
Yes.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, you know, you don't have, besides Hader, you don't really have another lights-out stopper that you're 100% confident in this season, but they're getting the job done.
They are.
You know, and for them to sit there, you would think tomorrow is all hands on deck. I know Junior Guerra, he threw 2 innings today, one inning yesterday.
Yeah, he's probably unavailable.
He might be, but I don't think he's going to be sitting there in a Hawaiian shirt and flip-flops. I think if Council needs him tomorrow, he'll yank him out and throw him out on the mound.
Want to get your reaction on a Brewers 4-1 victory, and it was nice to see Travis Shaw do what he did tonight because it didn't start out real well for Travis Shaw. It didn't start out in his new digs in the 7th spot. That is something we'll get to as well. Lineup change for Craig Council tonight. It is an exciting time to get these two victories. Again, I don't want to celebrate like they're winning the World Series here, but these two victories are big time, guys. They are big time. They got a shot to have a West Coast swing into L.A. area at 3-3 after losing the first three. I mean, that's a recovery.
Go at it
tomorrow and see what happens. 414-799-1250. If you want to react on the game, and also just if you're like me, and I don't mean this in a negative way, Milwaukee, I don't. But it just, I have this just this undertone here of there's like a missing link here of some sort, something. And I, you know, again, I don't want to be negative. It's not a negative thing. It's in an effort to get better. I don't know what it is, but see if you can figure it out with me as the Brewers get the 4-1 victory. Quickly on the game notes here as we go back to, hey, by the way, a quick game today? Quicker game today?
Quicker, yes.
Okay, quicker game. About a 3-hour game?
Yeah, almost exactly 3 hours.
All right. Back to when this thing got fired up a bit after 8 o'clock Central. Bronny did have a 2-out base hit in that first inning. Brewers do not score. Bottom of the first, a couple of base runners against Zach Davies. No runs there. Second pitch of the game, by the way. Some funky things happening on this road trip. Davies gets hit in the pitching hand, namely the ring finger, it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're saying, oh, man, after filling, as you said, Jeff, 4 2/3 of bullpen last night, you're going to have to go to the bullpen in the first?
Yeah, that would have been ugly.
It would have been. Thank goodness he seemed to be okay at that point to the second, no score. Brewers do hit the pay window in that second inning. How about Moose in L.A.?
As Mike Moustakas leads things off, and he sends one back into center field. Pollock going back at the wall. It's gone. Mike Moustakas, his 5th home run of the season, and the Brewers grab the lead in the second.
Zeus had a base hit in that inning to follow Moose. Davies earned a walk in that inning, but that's all the Brewers could get. One zip into the bottom of the second inning. nothing there, nothing in the third inning. Brewers did have the bases loaded in that third inning for Travis Shaw, and my heart is breaking for you, dude. Travis, come home, baby. Come on. It didn't happen, and he struck out.
Yeah. Yeah, that was ugly. That was ugly. A perfect moment for him to bust out of walk of shame.
It's a cool thing about baseball is after your first at-bat, for the most part, you're going to get another couple of at-bats.
Yeah.
So stick around because Travis Shaw does help himself and the Brewers a little bit later on in the game. Bottom half of that inning, a double play helps Zach Davies. Brewers turned three double plays behind Zach Davies today. That was huge. That was a big, big part of it. As you said, walks, eliminating the walks in this performance, but three double plays definitely helped. Brewers extend the lead in the fourth, Orlando Arcia.
Arcia drive into left field. Back goes Chris Taylor. It's gone. Orlando Arcia goes deep for the third time. And it's 2-0 Brew Crew in the fourth.
Yeah, waited back nicely on that.
2-0 there, and you're thinking, well, last night, four consecutive half innings with a two-run home run. You get a solo shot there in the top of the fourth. How about Bellinger answers that with a solo shot in the bottom half. That cuts the lead to 2-1 into the middle of the game, fifth inning. Brewers get a rally going in that fifth inning. Grandal was hit by a pitch. Moose with a base hit. Zeus walks to load the bases. Nobody out for Travis Shaw. You cannot tell me he's going to strike out again.
There's a shot off the glove and down the line. Muncy unable to grab it. Grandal is in. Here comes Moustakas, and he is in as Shaw with a big two-run single, and it's 4-1 Milwaukee.
That is huge for Travis Shaw right there, man. It's another case where this Brewers offense can hurt you up and down that lineup.
Yeah, we talked about it on the pregame show today, Tim, that he needed something. And you were saying maybe a liner down the line that just catches the chalk.
Something.
He needed something to turn this streak around, get out of this slump, off the glove of Muncy, and hopefully that is what it took.
And it did, and he knocks in two there. Brewers go up 4-1, and that was it. That was your final because Zach Davies was setting them up and knocking them down, and in this performance for Zach, he's having a hell of a year so far, guys. He is.
Yeah, his ERA is at 1.53 now.
He goes seven innings tonight, allows one run on eight hits. Now, he did scatter eight hits, and that's why I say the three double plays did help him out in this one, but no walks. Six strikeouts, Junior Guerra, six up, six down. I believe the Brewers retired the final 14 L.A. Dodgers hitters.
Yeah, it was huge.
That's a tough lineup over there. Man, oh, man. And that goes to show, you don't play this game on paper. As much as the Brewers lineup looks good, so does the Dodgers. Brewers will go through there and have, really, to a degree, have gone through a little bit of a funk offensively. It just happens in baseball. You need to tip your cap to the other guy when he's on. But Zach Davies certainly looking like Zach Davies of 2017 through three starts. He is, he's been dynamite. 414-799-1250. Let's squeeze in Steve. You're first up here on the Fan. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
What's happening?
Hey, before I get going, I wanted to kind of dedicate this call if you guys are all right with that. One of my good friends, good Brewer fan. He passed away this past week. Always listened to you guys. Never called in, but anyways, I just wanted to give a shout out to him. But anyways, on this game, to get to your topic, Tim, I don't really know if anything's missing. I think it's just a different ball club than last year's team. And when we get Jimmy back, I wouldn't be surprised if you see Burns back in the pen. Might be the piece you're talking about, and Jefferson come back, so I'm not terribly worried about it. I just think it's a little different team than we had last year. But anyways, I'm curious on your thoughts. You know, with Grandal hitting in the cleanup spot, that pretty much tells me, with him hitting so well, that he's going to be a cog here for the next couple weeks until he cools off. I wouldn't be surprised you see him at first base tomorrow. What are your thoughts on getting him some at-bats at first or trying to get him regular ABs in the lineup, you know, day game following a night game tomorrow? I'm thinking that you gotta keep him in there.
You're talking about Grandal, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'll do you one better than the cleanup spot. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up in the three hole. And I'm not saying tomorrow. I'm just saying down the line here. If Brawny doesn't pick it up, it's okay. Braun, it's all right, man. It's cool. It's all right for you to bat fifth or sixth. It's okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd like to see some position versatility. He used to play, 10, 15 games at first for the Dodgers?
I won't rule that out. But given a slow start for both Zeus and to a degree Eric Thames, I would have to have some duration of time go by first.
Yeah, but he's swinging that hot bat. I just want to see some at-bats out of him. But anyway, I'll hang up, let you guys get some other guys. I appreciate time, and I'll keep listening. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Condolences on your buddy, Steve. And
sorry to hear about your friend. And big Brewer fan, I didn't want to get into it a little bit, but I just wonder if it was expected or unexpected. That's tough.
Yeah, well, we'll pour one out for him, and now you keep up his tradition and tune in this the post-game show after every game.
Yeah, you get
in
credited,
honor of your buddy.
You get credited for two listeners listening.
Absolutely.
Steve does, yeah. 799-1250, Spark of the Game, brought to you by Current Electric. And you got to go with Travis Shaw in that fifth inning, don't you? I mean, you just feel so good about it. When he had the bases loaded and struck out the first time, then he gets a second chance. A lot of times you don't get that second chance. He did, by the way, add another base hit later on in the game. Had a multi-hit game for Travis Shaw. I am not super concerned about Travis Shaw. I want to see him get going because you don't want to see this thing snowball at all because then it rolls into a snake-bitten season.
Right.
Zach Davies had that last year.
Of course. Yeah, of course. The only reason I was concerned about Shaw is because of the outrageously high number of strikeouts that he had, which means that he's not seeing the ball well. He's not putting good swings on the ball at all. And for him to sit there and go 2-for-4 today, but, you know, with the strikeout, with the bases loaded his first time up, it was just like, oh, here we go again.
No doubt. I was way nervous for Travis Shaw. I'm digging every pitch here. Into this road trip, into this 2019 championship season. 414-799-1250. So it's me, based on Steve, it's me that this, I won't say an empty feeling, but I will say that like there is something just, there's something there. I don't want to just throw a dart at a dartboard and guess, but there, I think it's the bullpen. And I think it just might be the word different or the 2019 season as a whole or the 2019 25-man roster as a whole is just different. And I'm getting used to it a little bit now through 15 games. Well, something is there might or missing or different. Jeremy Jeffress might be that guy or is he? Some interesting things on Jeremy Jeffress. He did pitch today at AAA again and again gave up a run.
Yeah, on a homer.
We'll go over his numbers and some interesting news that we kind of did a little digging here about Jeremy Jeffress. So stick around for that as we move along tonight. A 4-1 Brewers victory. They take the first two of the three-game set in L.A. against the Dodgers. 414-799-1250. You're listening to the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Tim and Jeff here after a Brewers 4-1 win.
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. So when it comes to the crew, who's hot and who's not?
Yeah, Brewers get a 4-1 win tonight, game two of this three-game set in L.A. against the Dodgers. And, all right, so where do we start here? We have some who's hot and who's not in the big leagues. We have some who's not, or at least one who's not, in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
We do, and we'll get to the good news, and that is Yasmani Grandal. A couple of more hits tonight. He's on base three times.
Mm-hmm.
Dude is on fire. 17 for his last 30. 17 for his last 30, folks.
I'm not a math expert, but that's pretty darn good.
He has worked his average after starting out 0 for 11, has worked his average up to, you sure that's not his on-base percentage, 395?
No, that's his batting average, 395.
just unbelievable.
I mean, on base, 460 is his on-base percentage.
Would you consider him in the three-hole? We'll get back to some numbers here, but hitting now 208.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Ryan Braun carries, obviously, and well-deserved, a certain amount of cachet around Miller Park in the Brewers organization, period. And it's well-deserved and all that. He's been huge for the crew forever. But it's definitely time where Ryan Braun can get moved around in this order.
I think so. I would give it just a little more time. And you saw the, you know, how long it took for Travis Shaw to be moved down a little bit, Yasmani to jump over Moose. You know, it does take some time for that. It's slow motion when it comes to lineups because, you know, a lot of times a manager will understate how important the lineup is. I think there's a lot to do with the lineup, but that's me. Managers have disagreed with that a lot because that's what we talk about on the air.
What manager would ever say that lineups aren't important? I don't think there's one that would say that.
Well, there's one that is currently here, but there's been others. Ned Yost is not wanted to shift around lineups. Not that important. I mean, you guys overstate that. No, we kind of don't. Who's hot, who's not is brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashion since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com. So we have Ryan Braun at 208. We have the Zeus just starting to bust out just a little bit. Travis Shaw with a couple of hits tonight, starting to bust out a little bit. And Zach Davies in the hot category as well. Seven strong innings tonight. He did scatter eight hits. But only gave up the one run. Let's get to the who's not in the minor leagues. Jeremy Jeffress. Now, everybody is awaiting the arrival of Jeremy Jeffress on this next homestand. Barring any issues that have happened today in his outing in Nashville for AAA San Antonio, who's in playing the Sounds. By the way, I don't like the Sounds organization. They kind of screwed the Brewers. They were supposed to sign a deal, and that didn't happen. So I always like to see those guys lose. But anyway, Jeremy Jeffress was in Nashville and pitched today. He pitched an inning and gave up a run on a couple of hits. So here's his four appearances in his, do we call this rehab? I think we can call this rehab.
Absolutely.
Appearances. In four outings at AAA. Four and a third innings pitched, eight hits, seven earned runs, three homers given up, five strikeouts, no walks. Opponent's batting average against is .409.
Yeah.
And that equates to an ERA in the four and a third innings of 16.2.
Again, I am no math expert, Tim, but that doesn't sound good at all.
Well, it's not. And I'm wondering if he should stay down there another outing or two. I'm just wondering, four outings. You got to remember, this dude threw, what, three pitches in all of Cactus League play?
Yeah.
And then he goes to AAA, and he pitches four and a third, four outings. In essence, I don't think you can count that first one. What pitcher is ready after spring training? Four appearances.
None. Absolutely.
So you know, why are they pushing this on Jeremy Jeffress?
Well, it would make sense if, you know, for them to push it if we ever found out what his velocity
Well,
was.
Funny you ask about that. We did a little checking on that, and everyone's been a little bit timid on reporting. I thought that's what some of the guys do. See, we don't report. We talk about things. They report. They're the experts.
Mm-hmm.
The reporters are. They do a little digging. They find out what's what. So we did our own little digging, and we found that the play-by-play guy for the Nashville Sounds had, Sam, is this something he tweeted? Yeah. Yeah. Jeff Hem is his name on Twitter. And he reported, do you have the exact tweet?
Turn your mic on, Sam. Yeah. I currently don't have it up right now, but I can dig it up in a second.
Okay, I can paraphrase. Said Jeremy Jeffress tonight consistently fastball at 90.
Yeah, that's way down.
Now, I'm just thinking, is he letting up a little bit? Is he ramping up and that's all he's got? Or is he just, hey, man, I'm getting my land legs back. I've been out on the injury boat for a while, and I need to get back on land and get my legs going. And, you know, I'm not bringing it with all the adrenaline that goes with a major league eighth inning game on the line performance. Is that possible?
It's possible, but when your numbers are that horrible in AAA, when your ERA is over 16 and you're one of the best relievers in the league, I think that you amp yourself up enough because you want to prove to yourself and everybody else that, yes, I still got it, I can still bring it, and I can still get major league outs.
This is Jeff Hem's tweet. Sam, you got it?
Yep. So, I mean, he starts off, for the Brewers fans who still follow me, former Nashville Sound, Jeremy Jeffers goes through his pitching lines for today,
mm-hmm.
but finishes with, stadium gun ahead of his current velocity consistently at 90 miles per hour.
Consistently at 90. Now, here's a guy that's 95 plus, 95, 96, 97, 98, when he's really humping, 99.
Yeah.
That's this guy. That's Jeremy Jeffers. He was 83 in Arizona. Now he's worked it back up. Now, again, that's a good sign. Don't get me wrong. That's good that it's moving in that direction. But 90 for Jeremy Jeffress is there's something going on there. I would keep him down there. I would keep him down there at least one more. And they still might. I don't think it's etched in stone that they have to bring him up on Monday because they did say – probably on the current or the next homestand, which begins on Monday.
Right.
48 hours from right now. They're at home for a week. They've got 3 against the Cardinals and 4 against the Dodgers. That doesn't mean they have to bring him up on Monday. It could be Wednesday. It could be Thursday or Friday. That's what I'm thinking. I think that he gets back on the mound. This is what I do. That's just me. I want to see a better velo number.
Well, if you sit there and you say that his normal fastball is, let's call it 95,
yeah.
Okay? And obviously, the more adrenaline, the more pumped up he gets, it goes higher than that. But let's just call it 95. Well, in spring training, it was 80. So if he is at 90 right now, you know, he's about two-thirds of the way there. So he probably, if he's two-thirds of the way there after 4 innings, he needs to pitch a couple more, 2-3 more innings down in AAA to sit there and build up that arm strength more so he can bring it, and then he'll be ready. You get more starting outings like Zach Davies today, that should just push back when you have to call up Jeremy Jeffress because you only had to use Junior Guerra for 2 innings. You got 4 2/3 scoreless out of your pen yesterday. You know, you're still 10-5. You've won 2/3 of your baseball games so far this season in first place. Everything is going well.
Yeah, you might have a little time. Now, every game counts. I understand that. But they always say, and this includes for Jimmy Nelson as well, that it's better to be late and have him right.
Yep.
Well, why not the same philosophy with Jeffress? I don't know if 90 is right for him. Now, do you believe Jeff Hem? He's a play-by-play man for the Nashville Sounds, AAA affiliate, I want to say, for the A's. I think it's Oakland.
Well, we have no choice because we haven't heard word one out of the Brewers organization what his velocity is.
Not anything. Once you draw up our drive of the game, wrench and go drive of the game, that'll be Travis Shaw, because it's worth hearing again when you're considering Travis Shaw and his struggles. Wrench and go drive of the game tonight. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest-priced auto parts around. Travis Shaw, congrats. This was huge.
There's a shot off the glove and down the line. Muncy unable to grab it. Grandal is in. Here comes Moustakas, and he is in as Shaw with a big two-run single. And it's 4-1 Milwaukee.
Yeah, I am so happy for you, Travis Shaw. That was big for you, and it was bigger for your baseball team as he puts the Brewers in front 4-1. And that's the way this game ended, a 4-1 Brewers victory. That highlight from Fox Sports Wisconsin. Okay, not the Oakland A's. It's the Texas Rangers. Is that what it is now, Sam?
Yep.
Nashville Sounds affiliate. Jeff Hem saying 90 is pretty much consistently what Jeremy Jeffress was at. Would you leave him down there again? You want to chime in on this conversation, you're more than welcome to. 414-799-1250. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Brewers win tonight. They go after a sweep tomorrow. We'll be back on The Fan.
Pitching is nearly everything in baseball, but it doesn't always go as planned. Let's see who got lit up tonight. Sponsored by Heiser Automotive. Today's your day. Online at Heiser.com.
Yeah, who got lit up today? I think let's go back to the minor leagues and say Jeremy Jeffress. I hate to pick on the guy, man, and I've chatted with him on and off the air for years, going all the way back, all the way back. I mean, here's a dude that was drafted in the first round in 2006, and so, you know, it's been a long time, been in and out of the organization for years now, and I don't want to pick on the guy, but I'm not sure that these rules and standards would, I guess, go for the another reliever in his situation.
No.
Now, to be fair, they haven't called him up yet.
Right.
So they may consider some of those numbers, 4 1/3, 8 hits, 7 earnings, 3 homers, .409 batting average against, and 16-point-whatever ERA. That's getting lit up. I mean, that's, you know, the mere fact that he's back on the mound throwing a baseball does not warrant the call-up, does it?
No.
Because if that were the case, then let's see Jimmy Nelson then.
Well, of course. You know, and yes, you have to cut Jeremy Jeffress some slack. He has proven time in and time out in a Brewers uniform to be one hell of a relief pitcher. There's no way I'm bringing him up yet. He needs more time to get his fastball right.
I think at least one. I'd feel better with one more, and he comes out healthy and maybe picks up a tick or two in velocity, because I have to assume that the adrenaline of being in the big leagues and being on a deep run playoff team like the Brewers are right now, and there's nothing to indicate that they're not, coming out of last year and into this year. Would you agree with that?
Right, of course.
You would assume then the adrenaline is going to pump him up just a little bit more. Couple of ticks there. Let me see a couple of ticks in the minor leagues before we bring you up.
Okay, but honestly, right now, Tim, with the numbers that he has put up in the minor leagues, it is the bottom of the eighth inning. Cody Bellinger's at the plate. Are you throwing Alex Wilson out there, or are you putting Jeremy Jeffress out there to get him out?
I wouldn't feel good with JJ on the hill right now. I just wouldn't. And maybe I'm underestimating the switching, you know, flip that switch kind of thing. Maybe I'm underestimating that. Maybe these guys do just pace themselves in the minor leagues when they're on rehab assignments. Maybe they do. My guess is I wouldn't. I'd want some successful results, but maybe they do, and he can flip that switch when he gets here. But on the surface, no, I would feel uncomfortable about that situation. And I don't know if they'd put him in that situation right away in the first place.
No, I don't think so either. But I agree with what you said earlier. 4 1/3 does not spring training make. So the fact that he's only thrown 4 1/3 plus 3 pitches in spring training.
Why are they pushing it?
Exactly. Exactly.
It's seemingly pushing it because he hasn't been called up.
Right.
799-1250, Dominic, you're next on the Fan. What's going on, Dominic?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
So, I think that the one thing that the Brewers are really missing, like, it's kind of clear, is just that one ace pitcher that can give you, like, 6 or 7 every fifth day. Like, these don't have that.
Well, you've got it so far, and you didn't expect it. I understand that. Not a lot of people did. But you've got it sort of in Zach Davies this year.
Okay, so that's through 3 starts.
Right. It is. You're right.
You know, so, I mean, it's not like it's, you know, like a season-long type thing. But, I mean, you know that Zach Davies, eventually, he's going to get knocked around.
Well, the Crew are, what, 3-0 in games that Chacín has started so far, right?
Well, but yeah, you expected success out of him, though.
Right.
So he goes, what, like maybe 5 innings, 5 1/3?
Yeah, that magical 17 outs, 5 2/3.
Yep.
Right.
That's what he does, okay? He never goes 6, he never goes 7. Hey, we had that one guy go 8 innings.
Peralta.
Yeah. Okay. When's the last time before him we had a guy go 8 innings?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
I think the last
very, very long time.
Yeah, the last complete game I think was Jimmy Nelson a few years ago.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, we just need that one guy that can maybe give the bullpen a breather every fifth day, or at least, like, maybe not every fifth day, but like every 10th day, you know.
Right. And maybe 3 out of every 5 starts for that dude that can rattle off 7 innings.
Yeah, exactly. So they only have to cover 2.
I don't disagree with you. I really don't. Because it's needed even more this year because you're experimenting, because you're unveiling, if you will, 3 young starters. I think that's too many. I think it's too many, and we're seeing some of the limited success they're having in terms of eating up innings.
And, I mean, one other thing is that I think that Chase has just lost it.
I thought you were going to see him in this baseball game in the 9th inning. All right, Dom, thanks. Thanks. I did. I thought there was a chance they were going to put him in there. Hey, Albers pitched yesterday. Claudio pitched yesterday. Junior Guerra pitched yesterday. Alex Wilson pitched yesterday.
Hader
pitched yesterday. You had Jacob Barnes, Chase Anderson.
Well, you know, if Davies would have got hurt when he got hit on that his pitching hand
then
ring finger,
it would have been Chase.
It would have been Chase.
Yes.
And, you know, I think for better or worse, if it would have happened, and obviously it's all speculation, but if Davies would have gone out in that first inning, I think Chase Anderson goes 5, no matter whether he was scoreless or whether he gave up 15. I think they were counsel would have left him out there for about 5 innings.
Yeah, you saw that happen to Matt Albers in L.A. against the Dodgers last year, that they had a short start, followed up by a rout by the Dodgers, and Albers had to fall on the sword.
Yeah.
Because that was 17 to whatever it was, 3. Or...
sacrificial lamb.
It was. And luckily, he did not get hurt on that because he then rattled off 7 stellar innings for this baseball team in a 4-1 win. It says a starting pitcher is missing. And I'm not saying these guys are having a tough run. They're not playing their best baseball and they're 10-5.
Yeah.
But it still feels to me, guys, I don't know what it is, and I'm doing my best to try and figure it out, that something should be there and isn't. And it's not as easy as just, hey, put Dallas Keuchel in there, put Kimbrel in there, and there's your missing. There's the hole you feel.
I think what it could possibly be And since we're talking about Jeremy Jeffress, he did say that the offseason wasn't long enough for him. That the deep run that the Brewers went on all the way to Game 7 of the NLCS, he said he thought he was ready, and then he started throwing and realized that he didn't have enough time to recover from the past season. So whether you want to believe that, A, you know, that's accurate, or, you know, he's just making excuses, it kind of seems to me a little bit that the same fire and energy, you know, these guys were bouncing all over the yard last year.
It's amazing.
You could turn it on in April. You could turn it on in September and October. And they were having a ball day in, day out, day in, day out.
Yep.
Orlando is still that same guy. Do you think that the energy level, you know, maybe it's with the, some of the position players as well. Maybe Jesus didn't feel like he got enough of an offseason, and that's why he's struggling. Maybe Shaw. You know, do you give any credence to that, or you think it's just blowing smoke?
Not at all. That's a great point. Dude, it's a great point. Maybe that excitement factor is just not there yet because we're so used to, you're right, we're so used to the high energy, the blood just boiling and bubbling and fist pumping and just exciting win after exciting situation. Even when they lose, there were exciting situations last year. Maybe I'm just getting used to the difference between 2018 and 2019.
Yeah,
that could be.
It's possible. You would think that it would kind of
baseball team.
Oh yeah, you would think it would kind of be the same because the Brewers have played in a ton of close games.
There were some exciting moments in the first week of the season. You know that.
Oh, absolutely.
And so maybe this three-game downer against the Angels had dissipated some of that stuff. And really, the Cincinnati series, in which they swept, and I get winning should be the excitement factor for everybody. Even in that series, outside of Peralta just being just amazing, was there anything like, wow, this reminds me of last year?
No.
Outside of the wins, because the wins do.
Yeah, of course, of course. No, but I do think that that 1-0 game would have woke him up, you know, and relit that fire. But, you know, obviously, you know, the baseball season's a marathon. It's hard to go 100% day in, day out. And all that, and I get it. And maybe I'm just, you know, expecting too much or maybe just reading into my own craziness here. But I kind of think that, you know, these guys need a little bit of time. And then I believe it's going to happen. And I believe we're going to see him jumping around 100%, going crazy and everything like last year. But it just doesn't feel to me like it's 100% there yet.
Yet they're 10-5.
Yeah.
Which is the best news out of all of it. And again, I don't want to be this negative, the Brewers win and Tim's being negative. That's not the case. I'm just stating that I have this feeling that, number one, I know there's more to come this year. I can't wait for the storylines that we're gonna go through on this journey of the 2019 championship season, because there will be some. Some are going to be super exciting. And others, quite frankly, are going to be Jeremy Jeffress sad. And right now, his rehab performances are not good. They can slice and dice it any way they want. There's a guy that throws high velocity that's got a 90. Zach Davies throws 90.
I know.
He looks like the ball boy. I mean, Jeremy Jeffress is a menacing dude, man. He's an intimidating guy. That's part of his game, a hard-throwing right-hander that can just kill it.
He's built like a football player.
Yeah, yeah. So I would wait on that. I think you got the time to wait for that. On a more positive note, we're going to hear from Craig Counsell after the Brewers get the victory. Speaking of which, correction of the game, brought to you by Milwaukee County House of Correction. The lineup. Tim Allen's here. He's going to talk lineups again. Yeah, we are. Because, yeah, you did change your lineup. Grandal, man, I was floored when I saw those types of changes. Who would have thought Travis Shaw is going to bat seventh in your lineup?
Not me.
I think maybe back in, I think 11-year-old travel ball was the last time he batted seventh or lower. That according to the Elias Sports Bureau. I'm kidding. I made that up. but it's probably more true than not. Hats off to you, Craig Counsell, for that correction of the game with the Milwaukee County House of Correction. All right, 799-1250, you want to join in on the conversation, you can do so. Bayview Shade and Blind post-game show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. I want to get to Craig Counsell here pretty quick, but let's get in Justin here. Justin, before the break, I didn't want to hold you over. What's going on?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
First time, long time, big fan from Milwaukee, but lived in California for 20 years. So first time you guys are on my time zone, I actually get to call in.
Nice. Welcome to the party.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter. Hey, it doesn't matter. Middle of the night in the central time zone, I don't care. I love doing it.
I like it. Yeah, so, I mean, I haven't been listening to the show because I dialed in, but I just think, you know, we're 10% of the way through the season. You know, there's definitely some hiccups, but I think it's important to keep perspective. You know, we got the second best record of the National League behind the Padres. Who saw that coming? We got the second worst ERA in the National League. We got the third worst bullpen ERA in the National League. And, you know, some unlikely guys are stepping up. I've never been a fan of Zach Davies. I just don't think he has the stuff. You know, color me skeptical that he can keep this up. Mm-hmm. But God bless him. You know, he's stepping up. Somebody had to do it. Eaten some innings. We'll see if he can keep it up. He looks very Greg Maddux-esque right now, very savvy, mixing and matching.
Yeah, he even gets calls about 3 inches off the outside corner like Maddux did.
Yeah, right. But he's mixing and matching, and he doesn't have the stuff, but he's looking very savvy. You know, maybe he figured something out in the offseason, or maybe he's taken to Grandal and some of the new guys aren't. But, you know, I was convinced he would be the first guy out when Jimmy Nelson comes up late in May. But, you know, maybe it's Peralta. Maybe it's Burns now. But, you know, the reality is we've not played our best ball, and we're the second-best team in the National League. I think you got to keep perspective, and I think you got to remember, you know, you're not going to know who this baseball team is probably for about 25-30% of the way through the season. We're 10% in, right? So, you know, all things considered, pretty good place to be right now.
I couldn't agree more. Justin, there's a couple of things that we've talked about on this show for years. Number one, is the mark of a really high-end baseball team or football team, for that matter, basketball team. When you don't play your best ball and you're still winning at a big clip, that is one of the bigger signs that you can possibly have. The other is when you're doing it in the fashion you're doing it early on this year, I'm convinced that good managers, good coaches make what they have better the longer they have them. So those are two things that are really going well for this baseball team this year.
Yeah, no, it is. And here's the other thing. That's not an easy place to play. I went up there for game 3 of the NLCS, and, you know, people say California sports fan. Here, there's some tough people there. not an easy place to play.
No doubt.
And that team has a little bit of a bugaboo because they beat us in game 7. So I think this is important, especially with them coming back to Miller Park next year. Plus, we get them off the docket before they get Kershaw and Hill back. We don't have to face them at all, hopefully, for the rest of the year. So, I mean, this is important stuff. And it's good to see the team where they're at right now. I think it's going to keep taking shape. I'm a little worried about the new pitching coach. I thought, you know, that was a move we should have paid up for. I'm kind of annoyed he got away to Cincinnati. But who knows? Maybe it's too early for any of us to tell, and I think we're just overreacting to a small sample size.
It could be. Could be. Justin, good stuff, man. Call anytime, all right?
All right, see you later, boys.
All right, take it easy. 799-1250. No, he put it in a great perspective, and I couldn't agree more that they're not playing their best ball and they're winning 10-15.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll take that. But can they do better? This team under Craig Counsell, since the day he got in that position, these dudes, and it comes from him, and Stearns, yeah, personnel guy, puts everything together. But in the trenches, this is Counsell. Kicking, fighting, scratching, clawing, and biting their way into wins every night. That's the one thing you can count on with Craig Counsell. He doesn't care what that roster is. That's not going to change his philosophy at all. He's going to go to win tonight's game. He did it yesterday with Josh Hader. screw the rest of the series. I mean, think about it.
Yeah. Well, that was Council's career. You know, it wasn't pretty, but he battled constantly. He got results a whole lot more times than he didn't. That's who he is.
You find a way, man. You find a way. And I love that about Counts. And maybe at the end of the day, and again, bite my tongue, whatever, slap me. Maybe they are overachieving right now, and we just don't know it yet. I would bet against that. I definitely would, with what I know of this team and baseball. They're a good team, despite what some of the numbers say, and they're going to get better as the season moves along. And there's going to be some personnel changes. Make no mistake about it. Yeah. Get ready, man. They're going to have a revolving door with a couple of bullpen arms, and that, as Justin just alluded to, there's going to be another man in that pitching rotation.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely.
This won't last a ton longer. 799-1250. Let's get to Craig Counsell after the break here. It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. 4-1, Brewers win.
So, what's the skipper got to say about this game? Let's find out. Here's the scoop from the skipper on the only station Brewers fans need before and after the game. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
4-1 final. Brewers take game two of this three-game set. You are always in an effort to improve your baseball team, right?
Oh, yeah.
And
every day.
What is missing, I think, in terms of social media tonight, almost, Sam, what were you saying? It's a uniform that just almost every single person is saying a starting pitcher?
Yeah, usually when we post our questions on Facebook, we get a bunch of, like, multiple responses and stuff like that. But mostly everybody's saying the same thing. Yeah, everybody, we're missing just a starting pitcher, you know, somebody who can work another, you know, six, seven innings. And a lot of people are just thankful that Jimmy Nelson's going to be back hopefully in a month or two.
Yeah, a month or two. I'm confused by that whole Jimmy Nelson thing. I really am.
Oh, I am too.
Tomorrow, boys, a big day in the world of sports. Before we get to Craig Counsell here, just initial thoughts. Tomorrow you've got the Brewers firing up at, a little after 3 o'clock. That's sort of a precursor to the Bucks game one against Detroit. And a big day, and then you have to go to work on Monday. A lot of people, maybe take a half day or something. The weather's going to be pretty crappy.
Yep.
It's looking at mid to upper 30s and maybe snow and certainly some precipitation of some kind. And if you want to sit outside, well, that's probably not going to happen. I'm just wondering, it's too bad the Brewers weren't at home tomorrow so you could do the double shot.
Yeah, that would have been sweet.
Would have been cool. We've got a ton of programming tomorrow. More on that in just a bit. But I guess center focused on the Brewers. And then, hey, a few beers and a Bucks game doesn't hurt to wind down the weekend, right?
No, that sounds pretty darn good. That's a heck of a Sunday right there.
Certainly, hopefully celebrating a Brewers sweep over the Dodgers. They got a legit shot at it, man. They do. That's a big game for the Brewers tomorrow. If they can just lay the hammer down, go 3-3 out west, which would be a huge recovery. And then we've got the Bucks. You can sit back and enjoy that even a little bit more. The Bucks tip off at, what, 6?
Yeah, 6 o'clock tomorrow, game one against the Pistons. You know, I'm pumped, man. Tomorrow's going to be phenomenal. You know, I'll be up early, so I'll be watching the Masters. I will eventually take a nap a little earlier tomorrow, so I wake up in time for first pitch of the Brewers. Watch that. That wraps up. I'll have the post. I'm not working tomorrow, so I'll have the post game show on while I'm watching the Bucks game on mute, and I can't wait.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. So let me get this timeline. A typical 3-hour game, baseball game, would 3 o'clock start time for the Brewers of 4, 5, 6. Okay, so this show. Let me get this straight. This show gets on the air when the Bucks tip off. So the Brewer game will be done, roughly, will be done, just generalizing.
Right at the tip.
Okay, and then we get on with the post-game show, this show, as the Bucks tip off?
Yeah.
Oh, those damn Bucks. Come on, man.
Well, like I said, if you're watching at home, you know, you can put the TV on mute, listen to Tim and Tausch tomorrow, and enjoy that show. As soon as the post-game show is over, turn the sound back on.
And we'll break all the FCC rules, and express written consent will not be had, and we'll do descriptions and play-by-play of the Bucks game on this show tomorrow. Billy and I will.
So of course.
Stay tuned for that.
Of course.
Check that out after the last pitch as you make the switch. Craig Counsell's got to be happy. I think part of this victory was taking a little bit of a different stance, and that's a different-looking lineup. Travis Shaw in the seventh spot. Grandal moved up to cleanup. Look out Ryan Braun, because Grandal is peering right over your shoulder. Wouldn't surprise me that Grandal ends up in the three-hole. Now imagine that. Grandal, 17 of his last 30. Is he going to continue that pace? No. But nonetheless, could you see a Kane, Yelich, Grandal 1-2-3 for a stretch of games? I wouldn't rule it out. Let's hear from Craig Counsell after his team gets a 4-1 win.
Craig, with the young guys that you have and you're being patient with them and you know they're going to take your lumps, how important is it to have the two other guys just be steady and give you what Zach gave you tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, this was more than a steady performance. I mean, I think this was Zach at his best, you know, and doing what he does really well. The changeup, I thought he used, you know, he had a really good feel for his changeup tonight and used it to right-handers and left-handers. And again, the command of the fastball was really good. So, you know, we feel like we got, you know, he gave up some hits kind of early in the game, but it didn't feel like they were stinging the ball necessarily, just, you know, found some holes. And then I thought, you know, as the game went on, he just was, the fastball was kind of just located very, very well on the edges. And the changeup was kind of made the hitters defensive almost. You know, it got him off the fastball, even gave him some room for air with the fastball. So really nice performance, seven strong innings.
What kind of impact do those inning-ending double plays have when he starts to rack up big?
Well, what it led to is just some low pitch count innings more than anything. It's just very short, quick innings, and that, we're up in the, you know, he was under 100 pitches through seven innings. So I think that's what it did more than anything. It let him get through seven.
Just as impressive as on way was Junior, six up and six down, getting them to beat the ball on the ground.
Yeah, his sinker, you could just tell by the way the swings the right-handers were taking that the sinker was really moving. They were having trouble kind of, you know, they were hitting some weird foul balls kind of back towards their dugout almost. That's a sign of a really good sinker. So he was up there in the ninth inning. So he was excited, I know. We talked in spring training, and you're going to get a save this year, Junior. You know, and never had one, but you knew he was going to get one at some point this year.
For Travis, you think he breathes a sigh of relief when one goes off the guy's glove?
Well, he hit the ball really good. So, and again, it's, you know, like we talked about Aggie needing a hit last night. Travis needed one, and he did it in a big spot. So that's good to see. And then came up with another one the next at bat, line drive off the lefty. So, you know, he was going to get going, and hopefully this is the start of it.
The ball back up the middle, it hit his pinky.
Yeah. Oh, that was the first hit. That was first hitter.
Right.
Yeah, so it was, you know, I there was some concern really as kind of about the second or third. It stiffened up a little bit, and we were a little concerned, but you know, it didn't really. He said it was actually affecting his changeup a little bit at times, but then, you know, maybe we should hope for that a little bit, because it was pretty good. But he's going to be a little sore, but it didn't really affect anything. And it was, you know, I didn't even see it hit him really. It probably just glanced him, but the ball was hit pretty good, so stung him a little bit, and his fingers were a little numb for a while.
So it didn't cut him, it just bent him back.
It probably just literally glanced him, but I think it was hit hard enough that he felt that his fingers were last two fingers were numb for a little bit.
Well, thank goodness he trooped through that thing, and maybe it did help his change up a little bit. You never know when that is going to happen. Here's a new job I could have. Then if Zach Davies needs some help, I could just take like a ball peen hammer every 5 days, and if it's your turn to pitch, Zach, and just hit your finger with a hammer before you head out there.
You're such a giver, Tim.
I know.
Always
that.
Willing to volunteer, do anything it takes to make this Brewers team the best team it can be.
If that's going to help things out, then yes. All right, the bonus today also is that in the Central, the St. Louis Cardinals lose to the Reds. And that game was that game in Mexico?
Yes, it was.
All right, cool. And the Chicago Cubs, I didn't get a chance today. I was doing a little napping in and out, and this West Coast thing is you know, it got my hours all screwy. But I heard that game ended with a huff and a puff from Schwarber.
Yeah. He struck out, was not happy, started going after the third base umpire who said he went around on strike three. Javi Baez, I believe, was on third base, had to hold him back. And, not a good look. Pirates lose also.
That's nice. So everybody except the Reds and Brewers in the Central win. The Brewers get a 4-1 victory. You just heard Craig Counsell talk about a couple of different players offensively. Jesus Aguilar, as well as Travis Shaw. And good for Travis tonight. If you're just tuning in, Brewers get the 4-1 win. Travis Shaw, a couple of hits. Different looking lineup as Yasmani Grandal has crawled all the way up into the cleanup spot. Shaw down to the 7-hole. Moose keeps keeping on against the Dodgers. A nice Brewers victory, and it all starts in that mound right there. It's Zach Davies. 7 innings of 8-hit ball, but he gets bailed out with 3 inning-ending double plays. He only gives up the 1 run, does not walk a man, and strikes out 6. Beautiful performance from Zach Davies tonight. We talk about maybe a veteran pitcher being added to this rotation, or at least I have, in the early goings here and also in Arizona. You know, maybe Zach Davies is that guy that you didn't have last year. All of a sudden he's in there now and being sort of that veteran guy.
Well, he only made 13 starts last year, so you know, he definitely should have the energy to go as deep as he can, provided he stays healthy. And, you know, with the way that he was pitching and nibbling the corners and everything like that tonight, he got a lot of good calls.
He did.
Off the corner that helped him out, along with the double plays. But, yes, I could see Zach Davies filling that role.
It is something that him and I had a conversation in Arizona, and you know, he couldn't stress enough the fact of staying healthy. And these guys, the more this thing moves along and our coverage here and in corresponding with some of these players, really does begin, you got to start with the health. It's tough to play through injuries. And Zach had a rough year, a lost year, as they call it in baseball. And the talent is still there. And you don't think he's ever going to be Verlander. Because his stuff isn't made up of that sort of material.
Right.
But is he going to be in a rotation that is a deep run playoff team? That's a possibility.
Oh, yeah.
Zach Davies, all 5'1" and 110 pounds of him.
Yeah, you know, can I definitely see him making postseason starts this year for the Crew? Yes, I can.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I could see it, too. It looks like he's well on his way through 3 starts, just dynamite. So far here in the 2019 championship season. We're going to hear from Zach Davies next here on The Fan.
Now, here's the behind-the-scenes post-game update as we take you inside the clubhouse. You're listening to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball post-game show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
4-1 final. We're going to hear from Zach Davies here in just a second. Are you kidding me? Moment of this game brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing, a company you can trust. GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. Are you kidding me? Moment didn't even happen during the game. Or did it? It might have been Travis Shaw getting a base hit.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Are you kidding me?
That would have been mine, but okay. I'm excited to hear what you've got.
No, I think it's a lineup shakeup. I do. I was impressed. I'm impressed that, you know, I don't think Craig Counsell gives two, you know what's about me being impressed or not. That's impressive because we see that around the league. And I brought up, I think yesterday or maybe on your on deck show, Jeff, that you know, Anthony Rizzo gets popped into that leadoff spot occasionally. You see these guys moved all over the place. And Joe Maddon, I think everyone knows, is a very, very good manager. He does it. What was prohibiting Craig Counsell from doing it? I've been confused by that for a few years now. And he does it today. Now, it's not as drastic of, you know, taking Travis Shaw and having him lead off.
Yeah, or having Jesus Aguilar as your leadoff man.
Right, but yet it is, for him, somewhat like, are you kidding me? Did he do this? We're not used to this.
Yeah, it is a big change. It's definitely outside of Craig Counsell's comfort zone. It's refreshing to see. The big one will be the next one. If Grandal moves up one more spot in that lineup,
yeah,
that'll be huge because of the cachet of Ryan Braun.
Yeah, and but although Brawny last year or two, I think, has taken a little bit of a backseat, he has had his fair share of five-hole starts. He has. So I don't think that that would be that out of the ordinary. The one thing we do know, solidified 1-2, is Batman and Robin, right? We're not messing with that, are we?
No, no.
Okay. By the way, you might want to move Yelich. Bad. I mean, he dropped his average all the way to 345 today.
Yeah, he might have to sit a couple games, try to get it, find the fire again, get it back together.
0-for-5 today.
Brutal. Wow. Just brutal.
But there's your are you kidding me moment. A little bit of a lineup shakeup. That's a little bit rare for Craig Counsell. Let's hear from Zach Davies, a 7-inning performance, 1 run, no walks, 6 Ks, did scatter 8 hits for a Brewers victory.
You talked in spring training about wanting to get off to a good start and trying to put that injury stuff behind you. You've done exactly that. You must be very pleased.
Yeah, I think just attacking hitters, not shying away from that. Being healthy does help too. But being able to attack guys, not being afraid to throw certain things in certain counts. And I think just having help behind the plate, and Yaz has been a great help. He's got a lot of information on a lot of guys, so that helps too, just to go along with the stuff that I prepare with. Having another mind back there that thinks pretty similar to me helps too.
How big is the first thing you're
pushing? My fingers kind of went numb. There was nothing really of concern there. So I was just trying to get the feeling back in my fingers after the first couple pitches, and just manage to make sure that it didn't get any swelling in there, and to just stay loose for the rest of the game.
I was going
to
say, no concern, but your fingers are numb. That's not like a concern.
Yeah, I think it was just the ball hitting it, just kind of, I don't know, the adrenaline wearing off right there for that second. And as soon as I kept throwing and kind of let some blood flow get back into the fingers, it helped out.
Which fingers did it hit?
It was pinky and ring finger on throwing hand, obviously.
Should be an issue going forward.
No, there's no concern. Did all the kind of tests that they needed to do with the trainers, and just make sure to manage the soreness and keep it loose and ready for throwing program.
Did it affect your changeup at all?
No, I mean, everything felt pretty good. Nothing. That's kind of why I stayed in the game. Nothing was affected by it. There was no concern that the quality was not going to be there. So everything was good.
Has a changeup been a focus for you this year? Because you've been throwing it well.
Yeah, it's a pitch that I use coming up. I think that's something that I got away from a little bit. It's a pitch that I use in all counts to all hitters. So I think, looking back on 16 and 17, where I used it more than last year, not to stray away from my game.
Zach, it's been a few crazy games this year, but you cover 7 tonight, then Junior comes right behind you with 6-0-6. That kind of a normalized pitching game, I must have felt good.
Yeah, it was nice. As starters, we know we need to get deeper into games. Everybody's going to tell you that. Everybody knows that. They know that that's their job. So coming out there today was try and get as far into the game as possible. And after the first inning, after I knew that my fingers were fine, it was back to work. Giving the bullpen a little bit of a break. I know there's a long stretch of games here in the next 2 weeks. So, any help that can help the bullpen out is great.
It's nice to bounce back after
the Angels. Yeah, coming up against a team that's hot, a great offense, and they know how to play. So it's it's good to bounce back and show that we're still here.
Is that an urgency? Is it more? Does it affect you in any way that there's three young guys? And you know how it is with young pitchers. It's going to be
No, I mean, my focus is always to get deep into games no matter what, regardless of what the other pitchers do. There's no extra stress if there is a short start behind me or not. I know everybody, it's early in the season. I've had my struggles early in the season, so I'm not concerned about these guys either, just as much as little as the front office and manager is. They're going to bounce back. They're going to find their groove, and, you know, sometimes it just takes a few starts.
You got some timely double plays tonight to help you out of those three.
Yeah, it was great. You know, weak contact, ball on the ground, that's my favorite thing. So, getting it to hit at a guy was helpful too, but you know, defense behind me is always going to be a key thing.
All right, there he is, Zach Davies, after his performance tonight. You heard him again allude to health. Being healthy is huge, and it starts with that. They always say injuries are not an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Don't believe that.
Of course not.
It is an excuse. It's probably the only excuse that is pretty much acceptable.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That's
why
Aaron Rodgers came out and said, hey, by the way, guys, I was playing on a broken leg all year or whatever.
Well, and he didn't need an excuse because everybody said he had such an awful year. He still played fine. So, but yes, they are definitely an excuse. If you lose 2/3 of your starting rotation, are you going to tell me that that's not an excuse for you struggling in the game of baseball?
I know, man. I hear you. And you do hear it. I think they're more apt to ask for a big challenge for us this year, if we can stay healthy next year. While it's happening, it's not an excuse. No. It's a fine excuse. It's okay. I don't judge you negatively because you're hurt, man. Wow. And Zach Davies, hopefully he can stay healthy. A little bit of a scare in the first inning, getting hit on his pitching hand on the second pitch of the game.
Yeah.
But whatever it takes, man, he trooped through it. All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll talk to you tomorrow. There's no Bucks game tomorrow at 6 o'clock. There's this show right after the Brewers hopefully sweep the Dodgers. So the Bucks, where do they tip off at, like 8?
Yeah,
I think it's 8.
Something like that.
Okay, so if the Brewers game starts at 3 and it's a 3-hour game, we get on at 6, right? It'll button right up into that Bucks game.
There you go.
Perfect.
There you go.
That's going to do it for us. We'll see you tomorrow after the last pitch. You make the switch. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MillHockey. We'll meet you here in the Hyundai of West Dallas postgame studios. And prior to the game, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on deck show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief. That gets underway at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Ton to talk about tomorrow. Brewers and Bucks and playoffs and sweeps. Well, hopefully sweeps in both directions, Bucks and Brewers. For Sam Schmitz, Jeff Orlowski, the Polish Pipe Bomb, my name is Tim Allen. You guys have a great night. Once again, the final Brewers win. We'll see you tomorrow. And smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.